Let us read from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.'" And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." When we read this passage in the Bible, Genesis chapter 50, Jacob died, and Joseph's brothers were afraid that Joseph would repay what they did to him. But we have to remember, to go back a little bit in the story, to remember what they did to him. What did his brothers, they say, they admit that they did evil to Joseph. But what was this evil? For us to understand everything that happened, why they did all this evil, we need to understand the whole story that's in the background. When Jacob flee from his brother, he moved to his uncle's house, and he went there to live with Laban, his uncle. And when he arrived in Padan Aram, that is the land of his uncle, he found a girl there that he liked very much. He fell in love with a lady there that was his uncle's daughter, therefore his cousin, and he wanted to marry her. This lady's name was Rachel. And he fell in love with Rachel and he wanted to marry her. But his uncle was sneaky, wise, and he said, "Oh, you want to marry my daughter? You have to work 7 years for me." And Jacob agreed with it. He loved Rachel, so he agreed to work 7 years for his uncle. But after this first 7 years, Laban did not give Rachel to him. He gave his other daughter, Leah, or I think in Portuguese that's the pronunciation. I don't remember if in English is the same. For 7 years he worked for Rachel, but he received Leah instead of Rachel. And then he said, "Oh, but I wanted Rachel." And his uncle said to him, "Okay, if you want Rachel, you have to work another 7 years in order for you to marry her. And I think that if Laban had 10 daughters, Jacob would work 70 years, because he loved Rachel so much that he agreed with that. And he worked 14 years to marry Rachel. And this is important for us to understand, because when Jacob married Rachel, right away she could not have children. She did not have children right away. And because of that, he had children with his other wives. He had many children. But sometime later, not right away, he had a son with Rachel. She gave birth to Joseph. And because Joseph was the son of the woman he loved, and also was born sometime later, not right away, Joseph was Jacob's younger son and the son of the woman he loved. Joseph became his favorite son. And the Bible tells us very clear that in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, it says that now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. So, not only Jacob loved him more than his other children, but he showed it very clearly when he made this tunic Joseph this gift, and it almost like separated him from the others. It was a distinction, and every one of his other children knew that Joseph was his favorite. And because of that, and also because Joseph started to have some dreams, he started to dream that all of his brothers and all of his family would bow down before him. And because of these dreams, and because Joseph was his father's favorite, and also because sometimes when his brothers were working for his father, he used to go there where they were working, and used to almost like fiscalize or to oversee their work and tell their father if they were working correctly or not. Because of that, his brothers did not like him at all. So much that when Joseph was 17 years old, he was much younger than his brothers, they decided to kill him. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 18 to 22, we have the report of this story and how they planned to kill Joseph. The younger brother, who was their father's favorite, and also who had these dreams saying that everyone would bow down to him. One time he came to look what they were doing because his father asked it. And when they saw him, they decided to kill him. The verses 18 to 22 say this: "Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.' But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said to him, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father.'" So Reuben, the older brother, was the one who rescued him. The other brothers wanted to kill him, but the older brother had some common sense and thought, no, to kill him is a bit too much. So he agreed to put him in a pit. And Reuben, as we understand here, had a plan to rescue him and then deliver him to his father later. But when he was not with them, they saw, the other brother saw a group of Midianite traders that were passing by, and they were going to Egypt. And they said, oh, maybe we can make some money with Joseph. We don't want him, but what use will he have if we kill him? Let's make some money and we'll sell him as a servant, as a slave for them. So that is what they did. They sold Joseph to these Midianite traders. And these Midianite traders went to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's captains. He was one of Pharaoh's officials. And as we know, he lived with Potiphar for some time, and because Potiphar's wife had an attraction towards Joseph, eventually they had to he was sent to jail, and he stayed many years in jail. And then some years later, because he could interpret dreams, he helped to interpret the dream of Pharaoh himself, and he became then a very important person, a high officer in the kingdom of Egypt. But many years later, after Joseph became someone important in Egypt, his brothers met him again. But first they did not recognize him. They did not recognize him, and the whole context, Joseph put a cup, a golden cup, in Benjamin's sack with the things that they had bought from Egypt. And after he revealed himself. And when he revealed himself, his brothers could not believe. Like this, 22 years later that they sold him as a slave, now he was a very important person, an administrator in the land of Egypt. And when they met Joseph in this opportunity, 22 years later, he already forgave them for what they had done. And he called his father and all his family to come to Egypt and live with him. But after 17 years that Jacob and all his family moved to Egypt, Jacob passed away. And now, first 22 years that Joseph was in Egypt by himself, and then 17 years with the rest of his family. From the time that he was sold in Egypt until the time that his father died, there were 39 years had passed. And in these 39 years, his brothers still did not know for sure if he had forgave them or not. So they were afraid that now that his father was dead, Joseph would maybe try to revenge them because of what they did. So they knew that they did evil to him. They knew that what they deserved was the consequence of the evil that they did. But Joseph did not understand the same way. He had forgiven them already. And now, many years later, he did not blame them. But it's interesting that they come before Joseph. And because they did not like the dreams of Joseph, they sent him as a slave to Egypt. And what they did to him was actually what Because they did not like the dreams, they did not like this story, they did not like Joseph. But because they sold him to Egypt, he eventually became, the dreams that he had became reality. So when Joseph tells his brothers, oh, what you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, actually means like this. God knew that you were evil. God knew all you were doing. But God used you to do what He intended. And sometimes for us, it's kind of difficult to see the big picture. What Joseph is doing here, he's seeing the what happened to him 39 years later. And now he understands that all that his brothers did to him was actually God doing His will in his life. I don't think that when Joseph was put inside the pit, he had any idea that this was God's plan for him to be the second in command in Egypt. I don't think he had any idea of what he would become. And even his brothers, probably they never thought that by selling him as a slave, he would become someone important, the second in command in Egypt. And also when Potiphar's wife went after him and then he went to jail, I do not think that he had this idea, oh, this is because God wants me to rule Egypt, because God will exalt me. That's why I'm going to jail. I don't think he had this idea in mind. But he understood, I believe that he understood that God had something prepared for him, because he was always faithful to God. And again, how many times we face situations in our lives that we do not understand what God is doing to us, why God is doing that to us. Sometimes we struggle with sickness, a disease. Sometimes someone we love have a problem in their lives. Sometimes even in our jobs, we may lose our jobs, we may change careers. First, as I was saying, we may change careers just like Joseph did. Joseph first was a shepherd like his brothers, and then he became a slave, and then he became he went to jail, and then he became the second in command in Egypt. Changing these positions, his job was God's plan to him. And many things happen in our lives, and we do not understand the big picture. We do not understand God's plan to us. But Joseph, even though he did not fully understand God's plans to him, he understood that God was with him and God was faithful to him. And he was faithful to God as well. He believed that he believed in God. And even though he struggled with many difficulties, many problems, he was always faithful to God. And God raised him for a reason. When he says to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it as to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. What is he talking about? What is Joseph saying? That God did this to save many people alive. You remember that Joseph was the one who revealed Pharaoh's dream, that they would have 7 years of prosperity in Egypt and then 7 years of a famine. they would not have food. And Joseph not only revealed the dream, but helped Pharaoh to store enough food for the whole Egypt, the whole land of Egypt, and for their neighbors as well. So if it was not for this, for God's plan, putting Joseph there in this situation, even though he has been through a lot of hard times, if it was not for that, many people would have died of hunger. But God meant that for good. God, the evil that Joseph's brothers intended for him, God used it for the good of many. And his brothers now, they come before him, and it's just like the dreams that he had. They come before him and they bow down before him. They put their face on the floor, and they say to him, "Behold your servants." So those brothers who sold him as a slave now come before him saying, "We are your servants." And this story reminds me of another story, of a story that Jesus teaches in the New Testament. The story of that son that rejected his father, asked for his part of his father's inheritance. But after he spent everything, he had to return and say to his father, "Father, I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your servants." And it's a very similar story. But that's what the prodigal son thought. "I will come before my father and I will say to him, treat me as one of your servants." But when the prodigal son, in the parable that Jesus is teaching in the New Testament, comes before his father, he starts to say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I should not be received as your son." He doesn't have the opportunity to say, "Treat me as one of your servants," because the father hugs him and calls the servant and say, "Please bring the best clothes for him. Bring him a robe, a tunic, showing that this is my favorite son." And there are so many similarities in this story, that Joseph also received a tunic, but then his brothers came before him as servants. And as the father did to the prodigal son, he never considered his brothers his servants. He did not treat them according to the evil that they did to him. Actually, He said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Therefore, I will provide for you and for your little ones. I will provide for you and for all your family. I will not consider what you have done to me, because I consider that what you have done was God's plans in my life." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them, the same way the father did to the prodigal son. He treated the prodigal son with love. He showed him that he loved them. And Joseph did the same here. And I think it's like this. Joseph now, it's a man that's in this story probably around 50. He was 17. 39 years later, he was 56 years old back then. So he's not a young man. He's a man who had lived some years in his life. And he's a mature person. And he understands that all that happened to him, it was because God had planned something good for him, even if the circumstances did not look good when he was living that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says that, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." as I said, many times we struggle with something, some situations in our lives, some things that we do not understand in the specific moment. How many times I have heard people say, oh, why does God allow so much suffering? Why does God allow, for example, a catastrophe to happen, a tsunami to happen in Japan, or let's say a disease to spread around and kill so many people? Even though it may seem bad, God had a greater plan that we could not understand. We cannot understand because we are limited. And God does not own us any explanation for his plans. But we have to understand that his mind, his plans are so much greater than ours, that even if he explained it, we wouldn't be able to understand anyway. So he doesn't owe us an explanation. We have to know that all that God has planned, even if this in the situation doesn't seem good, it's because it in the end it's going to be good. It's going to turn to something good for those who love him. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In verse 18, when his brothers came before him, a little bit after, they send messengers to Joseph. And when Joseph hears what they are saying, Joseph cries. Why do you think that it happened? There is no clear explanation why Joseph cried. What I consider is like this. Joseph thought, how could they think that after all these years, I still have not forgotten. I still had not forgiven. I still haven't forgiven them. And Joseph probably was sad because of that. He thought that his brothers thought that he didn't forgive them. And even though they did not think that Joseph forgave them, he had forgiven them many years before. And what I want us to think here is that the message this morning, there are lessons that we can learn from this story. First, that God's plans are far greater than we can imagine, far greater than our human capability. If we remember what God instructed Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them simple instructions he said that they could eat from all the fruits of the trees, but from one tree they could not eat. God did not give them many explanations about it. He did not explain them why they could not eat, and because of that, he only gave them simple instructions, because he knew that they were not prepared to understand everything that he had planned. He only gave them instructions. From this tree you shall not eat, because if you eat, you will surely die. That was the simple instruction. And many times we have to believe in simple things, that God has a greater plan for us. And God knows much more than we can comprehend. What he has planned for us, for our good, for our own sake, is much greater than we could comprehend. And I already said in Romans 8, chapter verse 20, 28, Paul explains it in a very simple way as well, but that's exactly what we have to comprehend. That all things work together for good to those who love God. And that this is something that we have to understand. And we have to trust in God for that. Trust the Bible for that. And not doubt that God has planned something much greater for us. And the second point that I would like to for us to think also is that when Joseph's brother met him, 22 years after they sold him as a slave, Joseph had already forgiven them. But they did not believe or they did not feel secure, because they knew that what they had done to him was really terrible. But as Joseph was able to forgive them, we have someone who is much greater than Joseph, much greater than any of us, that is also able to forgive us for our sins. I don't believe that any of us has ever done to someone what Joseph's brothers did to him. But even if we had done that to someone, even if we had committed any sin that is, if we had done something that is very sinful, we had a father that is ready to forgive us for our sins. So different from Joseph's brothers, we have to trust in God and trust in the one, in Christ, who died for us to be forgiven. And the characteristic here that we find in common in these two stories that I related. First, the story of Joseph's brothers and the prodigal son. The way that they came before the ones that they had sinned against was not in a way that they were demanding anything. They went before them humbly. Humbly and knowing that they had done evil, but also repentant of their evil. They came before those who had they had sinned against and offered themselves as servants. And that's pretty much what we have to do, because we sin against, may sin against one another, but first of all, we sin against God. And the same way that Joseph forgave his brothers, the father forgave his son, God will forgive us if we come before him humbly in his presence and repent of the evil that we have done against him. If we come before our Savior, Jesus Christ, and offer ourselves as servants, he will not treat us as servants, as slaves. He will treat us as God, as the Father treats his Son. We become his adopted sons. So we come before God, offer ourselves as servants, but he receives us as sons. And he is ready to forgive our sins. And I would like to, for us to finish this message, and I would like to quote the verses from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Even though all the situations may seem bad and not good, we may we have to, we will rejoice in God, in our Lord, because of what He has promised us. Even if the situation seems bad, even if we have something relatable to what Joseph went through, if we suffer things in our lives, we will rejoice in the Lord, because He is faithful. He is faithful, and He is the God of our salvation. Jesus is the Lord of our salvation.